بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسل الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا داعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا. فما بعد، فقال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقال: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. وقال نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم: أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. My dear respected elders and brothers and sisters, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your and my Ramadan al-Kareem. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the best reward in keeping with His majesty and grace. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for our shortcomings and forgive us for what we could have done but we didn't, whatever be the reason for that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you many more Ramadans in good health, in good iman, with the time and the resources and the ability to take the maximum benefit out of them that is possible to take. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this world and sent us into it with instructions of how to live in it. He sent His Anbiya alayhimus salam to teach us by word and deed and to demonstrate for us what He expects from us. He sent His books of guidance, the last of which is the Quran al-Kareem, which was given to the last of the Anbiya and Rusul, their leader and Imam, Sayyidul Mursaleen, Imamul Anbiya, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, after whom there is no Nabi and there is no Rasul. And after His Kitab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Kitab al-Quran al-Kareem, there is no other revelation. Our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is based on obedience. We love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we express that love by worshipping Him only. And that is the highest form of obedience. Ramadan al-Kareem came to emphasize this. It came to bring this into our lives. Complete and total obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for one reason only, and that is because Allah said so. And that is why, if you think about it, we are so happy in Ramadan. Generally speaking, everybody, all Muslims are so happy in Ramadan. And the reason for that is that in Ramadan, we are doing that for which we have been created, which is the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defined this purpose and He said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created the jinn and the insan, the human beings, for anything other than my worship. So it's a double emphasis. I have not created but for. So double emphasis. And therefore in Ramadan al-Kareem, because we are focused on the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our lives are very happy. We are very happy in Ramadan. Generally speaking, if you think about it, we're very happy in Ramadan. We have a lot of barakah in our time. We've got lots of time. And even though we stand in Taraweeh, which, you know, at least takes an hour, maybe in some cases more, and then on the last 10 days and the 10 nights, we qiyam, and those Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the opportunity, i'tikaf. I mean, remember, throughout the year, if you ask yourself and say, when did I last stand in Salah for 1 hour at a stretch? Never. But in Ramadan, we not only stand, but we don't complain, we look forward to that, we enjoy it, we pay money to enable this whole thing to happen. Why? Because we are doing that for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. We just finished the month of Ramadan, and it's especially important to remind ourselves about the importance of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Ramadan al-Kareem to inculcate obedience in us, in our lives, and to make us muttaqoon. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, kutiba alaykum usiyamu, kama kutiba ala ladhina min qablikum, la'allakum tattaqoon. To obey what is very important, to obey, to do that, what is very important is a sense of reality about the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives. If think about that, we cannot interact or relate or obey somebody with whom we are disconnected, for whom that person or that individual or that entity is not a reality in our lives. Maybe we believe in that, intellectually speaking. If somebody says, do you believe in Allah? Yes. Is Allah real? Yes. But my question is not that. My question to you, to myself and you is Allah real? And when I'm saying, is Allah real, I'm not looking for the, you know, the standard answer or the Sunday school answer, yes, Allah is real. I'm saying, if I know that Allah is real, what in my action is evidence of this belief? Because at the end of the day, we will not be asked this question to answer with our tongues when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our amal have to show this. If I believed that Allah is real, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ, He is with you wherever you are. أَقْرَبُ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ, He is closer to you than your jugular vein. We know all the ayats, we know all the references. Today, our problem is not lack of knowledge, our problem is the knowledge. Our problem is the knowledge. It's not lack of knowledge. I can guarantee you that there is no khutbah of mine in which I will be saying anything which is news to any of you. Illa mashallah. All of you have heard everything which I am telling you, and you will hear, because I'm not inventing anything. I'm telling you what is in the Kalam of Allah and what is in the teaching of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So there's nothing new I can bring to you from somewhere. You know every single thing. And I know every single thing which I'm going to tell you. Issue is not that. Issue is not do you know. Issue is, am I acting on what I know? I know Allah is with me wherever I am. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ قَالَ جَلَّ جَلَّلُهُ. But in my actions, am I behaving as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with me? Let me illustrate by something that happened here in this, when we were in Etikaf, and I've got a couple of witnesses who were witness to that whole incident. One day, as I stood up to lead Salatul Asr, I saw in that other hall, I saw a young man standing by the door. So I asked him, are you not going to join us? Because I mean, we are standing for Salah, this man is standing outside. So I said, you know, will you join us? He said, no, I'm only watching. Right? You guys remember that, right? He said, I'm only watching. You know, my hands and feet went cold. Literally. I'm only watching. I thought to myself, when did I last hear that? Not literally in my ears, in my heart. I am only watching. When was that? That was when I read and I was informed about the hadith Jibreel, where Rasulullah was asked by Jibreel, وَمَا الْإِحْسَانِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, what is ihsan ya Rasulullah? And he said, أَنْ تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُمْ تَرَى فَإِنَّهُ يَرَكَ. He said to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you are seeing Him. And though you don't see Him, to know that He is seeing you. I'm only watching. I'm only watching. That whole salah, and I'm not saying this to you to demonstrate my taqwa, I'm saying this to you to demonstrate my weakness, and I'm saying it to you because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, don't even talk about weakness. If there is weakness between you and Allah. But because I'm standing here before you, it is my job to tell you. My whole salah was thinking, this man is watching. If my nose scratches, I don't scratch the nose because the man is watching. It won't look good. If I want to shift my position because my leg is hurting, I won't shift. I'll stand there, bear the pain because the man is watching. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. The man is not even a Muslim. He said, I'm only watching. What will I answer if my Rabb asks me on the day of judgment when I'm standing before him? You prayed to me. You did salah. And I was watching. Did you know? I was watching. What in your salah tells me that you were aware that I was watching? What is my answer? That's what I mean by saying, is Allah real? And if so, what is the evidence of that in my life? My brothers and sisters, actions are important because they are the only things which count and for which we are accountable and for which we will be rewarded, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from His punishment. Actions are real. Actions produce results. Actions are measurable. And that's why Michael Harry of Motorola, who invented the Six Sigma quality standard, he said, if you want to know what people value, see what they measure. He said, if you want to know what people value, see what they measure. If we say we value kindness, let us see whether we measure kindness. Do I know, can I say today I was kind so many times? Not to tell the world, to myself. If I say I value taqwa, do I measure that? What is my measurement of taqwa in my life? If you want to know what people value, see what they measure. Let me share with you some examples of people for whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was real. And that this belief and how this belief was visible in their actions. Rabia Basriya radiallahu anha, rahmatullahi alayha, one of the greatest of the tabi'un, there was a knock on her door one evening. She opened the door and there was a man who said, I am the servant of so-and-so and he sent this for you, and he gave her a container. She told him to wait. She went inside. She came back and she gave the container back to the man. She said, you came to the wrong place. This is not mine. Go away. Take it away. The man said, no, of course not. I know. I mean, this is, you are so-and-so. I know you. I know the place. I know everything. I came to the right place. He said, no, this is not for me. And she shut the door. 2 minutes later, knock on the door again, the same man. And he said, I have a confession to make. She said, what? He said, there were 10, but I ate one because I was hungry. And that's how there are only 9. And that was bread. There were 10, and this is in Basra, so must be that beautiful Iraqi bread which we get here also. May Allah bless all the Iraqis for making that lovely bread. So, there were 9 loaves of bread in that container. She said, okay, then I will accept it. The man said, no, but tell me, how did you know? He said, my master gave me 10 to give you. I was very hungry, so I ate one on the one on the way. I thought to myself, she doesn't even know this is coming. Obviously, she doesn't know how many should be in that, whether it's 9, 10, 5, 1. How does she know? So if I eat one, you know, so what? But he said, you knew. How did you know? And she couldn't have said, you know, your master sent me a WhatsApp message because... She said, it is very simple. I gave one piece of bread, one loaf of bread in charity this morning. My Rab promised me 10. وَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ أَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. He said, my Rab promised me 10. I know it has to be 10. Cannot be 9. So when I saw 9, it's not mine. Take it away. I will not accept unless it is 10. My Rab said 10. Why will I accept less? I will not say, no, no, at least I got. No, at least. My Rab said 10. I will take only 10. I will not take 9. Huh? Same Rab, right? Or did she have some other God she was praying to? Let's think. Is Allah real? أقول قولي هذا أستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد قال تعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. My brothers and sisters, if you want to know what people value, see what they measure. If you want to know what people value, see what are their priorities in life. And when I say people, I don't mean look at other people, I'm saying ourselves. I need to look at what are the priorities in my life. The key to efficiency is to prioritize your time. Nobody can do everything. So we have to choose. What do I choose? So ask yourself, what are your priorities? Let me ask a few questions. You have a son or a daughter. Your son or daughter gets a GPA score of 4. Are you happy with that? Right? You're very happy. But the same son, you ask him, please describe for me, what are the ahkam ul janaiz? What is the hukum with janaza? How do you bathe a dead body? How do you put the kafan? How do you pray salatul janaza? How will you put the body in the grave? And your son doesn't know. He does not know. Which means that given this hypothetical situation that you die and your son is the only person there, maybe the other people who are maybe non-Muslims, whoever, I mean somebody is there, your son will not be able to bury your body. He will not be able to give you ghusl. He will not be able to put your kafan and he will not be able to bury your body. Ask yourself, why is it? We see this everywhere in the world. Why is it that when somebody dies, practicing Muslims who are praying salah in the masjid 5 times a day, they are running around to find where is the imam, where is this one, where is that one, they are going to the qabrastan, where is so and so? The only person you need in the qabrastan is the dead body. Why are you running around? Let's look at another thing, which is the rules of tahara. I can guarantee you, ask your children, ask their friends, ask even the adults, people who have children. Ask them to tell you the fara'id of ghusl. What is fard in ghusl? Without which ghusl is invalid. The tragedy is that a majority of the people that you ask this question to
will not know the faraid, the compulsory things in ghusl. This means that their whole life is being led in a state of najasat. There is no tahara. So how is their ibadah accepted? How is their salah accepted? How is their fasting accepted? Think about that. Now, how long does it take to learn what is fard in ghusl? 5 minutes. But that 5 minutes we don't have in our lives. My brothers and sisters, I can list a number of things which are, from the perspective of Islam, from perspective of Dini knowledge, literally kindergarten stuff. I'm not talking about some, you know, daqayaq of fiqh of Islam. I'm not talking about the great, you know, complex and complicated rulings on different matters. I'm talking about things which are absolutely fundamental. Literally, I call this kindergarten level. The tragedy is that a lot of us, I'm probably not wrong if I say majority of us, do not even have that knowledge. And it's not because that knowledge is difficult to get, it's because we just don't focus on it. That is not a priority for us. And I am suggesting to you that that is something that must be changed, and must be changed absolutely on as if it is an emergency, because it is an emergency. Imagine living your whole life in a state of najas, where you are impure. I mean, how much of an emergency is that? Just think about that. I mean, how much do you not consider that to be an emergency? Do you not consider that to be an absolutely critical thing to learn? And as I told you, faraid of ghusl takes 5 minutes, literally 5 minutes, for you to learn. And if really, I suggest to yourself that give yourself this. You owe this to yourself. Give yourself this time. Go to somebody who knows. Just go to the internet. I mean, Google is good for this. Just straightforward. Don't get into any complicated arguments about, in this madhab, in the Shafi madhab it is like this, and the Hanafi madhab, whichever madhab. Just take it and learn it and make istighfar and tawbah. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us for whatever has happened in the past. We don't have to repeat those salahs and all that. But at least from now onwards, go make ghusl with the proper faraid, and inshallah, the rest of our lives from this moment onwards will be, at least minimum, that life will be spent in a state of tahara.
If the khatib does not come at one time, what will happen? People will be sitting and waiting. Why? I'm not talking about this lecture part of it. I'm saying the fiqh of Jummah. What constitutes the Jummah Salah? What about regular Salah? The Imam of the Masjid, whoever is designated, is not there at that time. People are sitting and waiting. For what? Why? And the answer is, because we don't know what to do. Or even if we know what to do, we can't do it well. How many times in this same masjid, and this is true, not only of this masjid, I've seen it everywhere. People who are praying salah 5 times a day, and many of them are praying right behind me, ask them to give the iqamah, they give it wrong. Ask them to call adhan, they do it wrong. Why? You are listening to that iqamah 5 times a day for God knows 50 years, and you cannot give the iqamah right. Why? Because that is not the priority in our life. The priority in our life is not to learn the deen. It is not to practice the deen. And that is why when somebody reminds us of that, we get offended. Huh? People say, no, you know, you frighten people. Why do you frighten people? What are the malaika going to say to the people who are going to Jahannam? Alam yatikum nazir aw bashir? What will they say? Surat Mulk ayah. Alam yatikum Nadir. What is Nadir? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came as what? Bashiram wa Nadira. What is Nadir? Nadir is somebody who will frighten you. Somebody who will warn you. Alam yatikum Nadir. Nobody came to frighten you. Nobody came to warn you. قَالُوا بَلَا قَدْ جَاءَنَا نَذِيرٌ فَكَذَّبْنَا. What would they say? No, 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 of course, they came. But we denied. Believe me, anyone with half a brain knows how to make himself and keep himself popular. And the way to do that is to sing you lullabies, nice, beautiful songs. Oh, mashallah, mashallah, you are a man of Jannah. Allah will give you this, Allah will give you that. Very easy. Very easy. And I have seen people like this. I have seen people who have big madrasas and they do not do any fundraising. You know why? Because they've got one or two people with money. Who are those people? I know a particular case where one of them is a banker. He owns a bank, an interest-based commercial bank. He's not just taking it, he's got a whole bank. There's another guy who's got a huge tobacco business. Cigarettes and bidis and gutkas and God knows what. So this alim, this mufti, comes, stays with them in their homes, and they write them blank checks. And they will send for them, nice Mercedes car, please take it. This mufti sir, please accept this Mercedes. And if you ask the mufti, how is it, how are you taking the money? He'll say, no, 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 the fiqh. Yeah? May Allah save us from fiqh. Because fiqh used for our benefit. What is the dalil that is given? No, no, you see, I am taking only a gift. And for me, the gift is halal. It doesn't matter. You are giving me a gift. Whether your source is haram or halal has nothing to do with me. I am only accepting a gift. This is what fiqh is for. Is this the purpose of fiqh? And then if you ask the man, okay, sure, your fiqh is okay. You know, you gave me an answer for the masala. My point is, on the day of judgment, that guy who bought you that car, that guy who wrote you those blank checks, is going to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he will grab you by the throat. And he will say, Allah, he never warned me. He took this from me, but he did not tell me your source of income is haram. You are giving me this gift. I am accepting it as a gift. For me, it is halal, but for you, it is haram. You will burn in the hellfire if you don't do that. You have written your name in the list of the enemies of Allah because you are running this bank and you own this bank. Change your ways. Never told me that. Why? Because he wants to be popular. He wants to have all these friends. So what do? Sing lullabies. We like such people. You don't like the doctor, the oncologist who's telling you are smoking and you are going to get lung cancer. And here are some pictures, nice pictures of lung cancer patients. Stop smoking. He's not telling you that. He's telling you, no, it's okay. It's okay. It's curable. We've got fantastic technology. Don't worry. We understand this from a physical perspective. But what we don't understand is that lung cancer, the pain of lung cancer ends with death. The pain of eating haram begins after death and never ends. What are our priorities? Our children do not have the knowledge of Islam. We are not bothered. We are looking for people who will tell us nice stories and sing us nice lullabies until one day the eyes open. And then when we see the picture, so let me tell you story of people who were not like this. People who, for whom Allah was real. Abu Talha Ansari radiallahu anhu, one of the greatest Sahaba of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, لن birra hatta tunfiqu mimma tuhibbun وما tunfiqu min shayin فإن الله به عليم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you cannot reach the level of birr, of taqwa, until you spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that which you love. Not just charity. Not just charity. I've got some surplus I'm giving. No surplus. Something you love. Something which if you spend it hurts you. You don't want to lose that thing. But Allah is saying you want to get close to me. That's what you need to do. Give something. And Allah did not say the one who does not do that will go to Jahannam. No. We are not talking Jahannam, Jannah here. We are talking beyond that. Will you still get Jannah? Will Allah still forgive you? Inshallah, no problem. But will you be among the awliya of Allah? Will you be those who Allah loves? Will you be those who are close to Allah? No. For that, what must you do? Give that which you love the most. Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu anhu comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with some papers. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what is this? He says, Ya Rasulullah, I want to give this garden of mine in charity. To you, please distribute it. That garden of his was one of the most valuable of the properties in Medina. It had a well and it was very, very thick. I don't know how many of you have been inside a date plantation. It's worth seeing when you go for Umrah. May Allah give you the opportunity to go for Umrah and Hajj, inshallah. In Medina, there are many. Just take a taxi, tell them to take you there. And they jump. Fantastic. It's like a roof. It is so thick. It was cool. And it was one of those places where Rasulullah ﷺ used to come and he would sit by this well. And it was a very cool, nice place. He brought the paper. Ya Rasulullah, Nabi ﷺ said, why are you giving it in charity? For what? He said, Ya Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. I want to get close to Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is your most valuable property. Among the properties you own, this is the best. He said, yes. He said, don't you love this? He said, I love it. I love Allah more. Evidence. Why? Allah is real to me. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted it and he said, distribute this among your own relatives. Now that is the hikmah of the Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam. We will talk about that later, but this is what he said. I want to just complete the story. Here is somebody for whom Allah was real. There are many such stories of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. My purpose here is not to tell stories. My purpose here is to remind myself and you. We just finished Ramadan. And Ramadan came with a purpose. And that purpose was to make Allah real in our lives. That is the definition of taqwa. What is taqwa? Taqwa is that Allah is real for me. So every decision of mine is based on, does it please Allah? Khalas, one single point of reference. Does it please somebody else? Not please somebody else? None of that matters. Does it please Allah? If it pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I do it. If it does not please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will not do it. As simple as that. Has that happened to us? It's time for us to take stock. So let us take stock. And let us see what the gap is and let us work to cover that gap. Because a day will come when we will remember all that we did and we want that day to be a day when we will be happy about what we did. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cover our faults. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased and never to be displeased. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us from His hidden treasures. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us close to Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, first jud waqtarib, make sajda and come close to me. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our whole lives in sujood before Him, Jalla Jalalu, and to bring us close to Him. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. Allahumma hadina fi man hadayt wa afina fi man afayt wa tawallana fi man tawallayt wa barik lana fi ma atayt wa qina wasrifanna sharra ma qadayt. فإنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك فإنه لا يذل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت تبارك ربنا وتعاليت نستغفرك اللهم ونتوب إليك ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وآله وصحبه أجمعين يا عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم عدوا يستجيب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقيموا السلام